One thing I forgot to tell you about the magic book here that Nancy pointed out, I told you that the graphic is hand-painted, but I didn't tell you who it was. And I can't believe I didn't tell you. Now, does anybody know? Lakshmi, yes. And what does Lakshmi represent? Abundance. She's in charge of prosperity, money. If you look at her hands, there's coins coming out of her palms. A never-ending supply of abundance. So that was another reason I like this, is that that picture is thousands of years old and is a loaded archetype. In other words, it is a charged symbol. So having this on your magic journal is very, very powerful. It's like she's blessing it. She's welcome to whatever you want. She's totally open. You know, she's ready to receive your request. She's your connection to the divine. She's supplying it to you. No shortage, total abundance. Anything goes. So you don't even need a shot of tequila. So warm yourself up. You've got Lakshmi on your side.
I actually wanted to take the conversation back before the break. And I thought maybe you might want to talk about the dangers of what happens when you're not paying attention to the signals.
Oh, interesting.
Such as what you and Narissa experienced in December. I don't know if you want to share that with the group.
Are you talking about the deer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. So Suzanne asked something interesting. She asked, what happens, or what about what happens when you don't pay attention to the signals? And she's referring to what happened to us in December when we were driving in my brand new BMW, which had only been a few months old, and hit a deer. And hopefully you've never hit a deer, never will hit a deer, but when you hit a deer, there's all kinds of things that happen, everything from you could be killed, because it's depending on your car you're in and how they hit you and so forth, or how you hit them, it's a very dangerous situation. And then, of course, there's the, you know, the emotional impact of killing an animal, which we are animal lovers. We don't want to do that. And then there's the confusion, I guess, psychologically, like, why did that happen? How did we attract it? What's the story with this? And I'm searching in my mind, because right now I've dismissed and forgotten a large part of it. So I remember, as I'm thinking about this right now, that I was very confused. I was upset. I mean, it was my baby, my brand new car, a car that I paid $90,000 for, that was made for me overseas, and I watched it being made online. I would go every day and see it being made. So, and the only other person to touch it, besides the people making it, were the people who unloaded it and put it in the dealership. And then I went to pick it up, and it had 8 miles on it. So it was very much connected to me. So it was an emotional vehicle in a lot of ways. And so to have it damaged by a deer, it was confusing. It's like, how can the guy who writes books about the attractor factor, you know, create this and attract this into my life? Very confusing. Got even more confusing when I called the insurance company to find out what I had to do to get it covered. And to my astonishment, I found out I had no insurance. None. Apparently, I've had the same insurance company for 30 years. Life insurance, the car insurance, the whole thing, 20, 30 years. Apparently, one of their bills didn't get paid, and they never told me. They just let it slide. And that was at first, when they first told me you didn't have insurance, I just laughed it off. It was like, no, that's just a mistake. You're looking at the wrong file. Here's the right number, and so forth. So once I realized that we really didn't have insurance, then I was angry, then I was perplexed. I'm the one who pays the bills, so somehow it fell through the cracks. I've never had anything fall through the cracks. I didn't even get the bill. But that was, you know, all they said, this company, which is Allstate, gladly go ahead and say Allstate, been with Allstate for 30-some years, and Allstate pretty much decided, they said, if somebody doesn't renew their policy, we just assume they went to somebody else. That's all they assume. Yeah, they don't call up, they don't send out another email or a mailer or anything like that, which to me, from a business standpoint, we know in marketing and so forth, we'd be following up. You know, you're losing a customer. It's in our service to keep this thing going. It's in their best interest to check with me. They didn't do all of that. They weren't apologetic at all. They wanted me to renew, which would have cost a lot of more money because now I was considered uninsured. You know, so besides having the accident, which is not going to be covered now, and it's thousands of dollars on this new car, which is going to come directly out of my pocket. And, of course, it has to be done by a special dealership because this is a BMW, a luxury car. It's a luxury sports car. Narissa pointed out once that the car costs more than a lot of people's houses, and to get it fixed was pretty heavy duty. So I went through all of that, and once I realized that I had to take responsibility for it, I took responsibility for it. But I was still perplexed to why. What was the signal here? What was the message here? why did I hit a deer? What was in it for the deer? What was in it for us? You know, what happened here? And it really seemed to be that this deer, now I'm going to talk in the most woo-woo, metaphysical, universal, we're going to leave Joe behind after this because because he's off the charts. He's already drinking the tequila, apparently. But it really felt like this deer sacrificed its life to tell us, you don't have car insurance. We could have been in a different kind of accident, found out we didn't have insurance, and could have been wiped out horribly financially. So once I realized I had to have insurance, first of all, I'll take care of the car, just go, you know, whatever it takes, I'll pay it, just go ahead, I've got to do it. Just own responsibility. It's the key to working in the universe, you've got to take total responsibility for everything that's occurring, including if you hit a deer. So take complete responsibility. It's a 2-3 month process to go through that, but just gladly pay it. Meanwhile, I need to get insurance. Well, I'm not going back to Allstate because they didn't treat me right the first time. Now that I'm an uninsured driver and they want even more money to take me back on, I'm not going back to them. And I go online, and what do I do? What's the commercial we all hear? Yeah, Geico. We all hear about Geico, and they're going to save us some money. Just a 15-minute phone call might save you some money on your car insurance. Well, they saved me a lot of money on my car insurance. I'm now a commercial for them because I go online, and I find out that I can have both of my cars insured for like 1/4 of what I was paying for one of the cars. And I was like, oh, this can't be right. So I got them on the phone. And they said, yeah, if you want both cars insured equally, the way you had the other one with the Allstate and all of that kind of stuff, it's only this. And I said, is this, you know, a few $100 per month? And they said, no, that's for 6 months. I'm going to save thousands of dollars per year being insured. No, I'm insured. Of course, that low, I just went ahead and paid for the entire year. And just said, how much do you want to pay? As long as we can pay in advance. So there's no concern about a bill being slipping through the cracks. And pay it. And all I can think about when I look at it from a more universal or kind of from the divine, if you want to look at it that way at all, is that somehow that deer was told, you run in front of this car, and you know, there was no time to move or anything because of the nature of it being late at night, you can't see it, it's in the country. It just basically, you see it, hit it, then it's over. And the deer gave its life to tell us, you don't have car insurance, you need to have the car insurance, but you could have been in a different kind of problem. You don't want to go there. Is that what you're referring to? Oh, what's another part? Jeez, I thought I was done. All right, jeez, I better have the tequila.
The deer story was a consequence of signs that you were ignoring with the cruise that you and Narissa were going to go on.
Oh, interesting. Oh, interesting. Boy, isn't it good to have her here to remind me of my life and my stories? That's very good. There is a part two to the story. She's absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, sometimes I go through all these things, and once I got it, I just dismiss it. It's gone. I forget it. The story's gone, which is not always the best because we can learn from all those stories. I want to write about them. And I did write a little bit about this on my blog. There's a blog entry that goes through all of this. But you're right. When I wondered about what happened to the bill that Allstate sent that I was supposed to get, that I was supposed to send out, it's very likely, I don't know it as a fact, but it's very likely that it arrived during the week we were on the cruise that we met you at. And I had been getting signals not to go on that cruise. This was an example of, I kept my word with the guy who asked me to go on the cruise. I could not think of any rational reason to tell him that I can't go on this cruise. All I could tell him was that I can't go on this cruise because it doesn't feel right, which he would not have accepted. I mean, if I had forced the issue, he would have accepted it, but he would have called me names, and it would have ruined the reputation. And I went on the cruise. We went on the cruise. We did not have a great time. One of the greatest highlights was meeting her right there, who's now become a friend. Well, see, look at that. You know, there's still all these wonderful benefits that took place, and we're very grateful for that. But we did not enjoy the cruise. The seminar leader had rearranged things, so all the speakers were forced to do things in the very first day, and it was supposed to be spelled out over or shared over a week-long period. So all in all, we did not like the cruise. We don't want to go back on the cruise, especially on that cruise line, especially for that seminar promoter, the whole thing. Had we not gone on the cruise, had I had listened to my intuition, those feelings that were saying, don't go, we're trying to tell you, don't go, I went anyway. Had we stayed, I would have probably seen that bill, probably would have paid the bill. Deer wouldn't have had to give up its life. We wouldn't have been in a car accident. All of this, of course, obviously I admit that's speculation, but that's the way I piece this together. That makes sense to me. And this does go back to listening to the messages all the time. Uh-oh, I must have forgotten something else, because Narissa, who was on the cruise, and Narissa, who was also in the car, has something to add. I might as well leave.
I am just remembering that we did our little ritual. There's two ways to go back home at night.
Yeah.
We can either do the freeway, the I-35 way, which was jam-packed full of 80-mile-an-hour semi-trailer trucks and stuff, or we could do the back way. Well, usually, since we know deer are running around at night, we do the freeway drive home from Austin to Wimberley. But this time, we both felt confident that we should be going the back way. So I see that in my head as something really bad may have happened to us had we taken the freeway way home, because ideologically that would have been the safer route because we wouldn't have hit a deer most likely on I-35. So, but we both felt strongly to go the back way that night.
Suzanne, have I covered it all now? She keeps records. She's got a perfect memory. I mean, yes.
Well, I think we talked about this at lunch, that I used to do animal communication and healing. So I would tell you absolutely 100% my belief is that all the animals you interact with, there's a reason for both of you. It's no different than the person you interact. You both have a reason. The animals are the same way. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, other questions? Comments?
I was driving two winters ago up island on Martha's Vineyard, snow everywhere. A huge buck came over the crest into the road, and there were big drifts, and I knew there was no way I could avoid it. And I have a truck, but it was a huge five-point buck. And in that instant, I said, please, God, either let him somehow miss me or kill him instantly. And the deer went under the truck, which is quite a trick for one with that big rack, never did any damage to the truck, and rolled off to the side, died instantly. And later I found out after I reported it that a family who had been really hungry got the deer.
Wow. That's a very different kind of story. Yes. I loved it. Okay, there's a couple of different ways we can go here. We're going to wrap up at 5, so we've got time. First of all, I have more surprises for you. Yes. Oh, you like surprises? Anybody not like surprises? Kind of, if you don't like surprises, I can tell you what it is, so it won't be a surprise. And then you'll feel better. I have two guest speakers, and I'm not going to tell you who they are, but you will hear them tomorrow, just in case, I don't show up. So I've kind of banked myself and covered my corners here. So I have two guest speakers tomorrow. I also want you to know that I can teach you a meditation technique right now, if you want to know it right now, that Dr. Len taught me. It's based in Ho'oponopono. It's very easy. It's very breath-oriented. And it's something we can do before I give you some time to write in your magic journal, because I would really like you to do it while we're all together, and I'm going to do it with you. So we're all together in this energy vortex, so to speak, and maybe we can all be in alignment and supporting each other, not knowing what our intentions are, but it's supporting each other and going in the same direction and sending them on up. So I can do that before or after we do that kind of this writing journal. And before I tell you what the meditation thing is, I'd like to know what you think meditation is. What is your definition of meditation? He says, listening to your thoughts. Standing in the space, being, silencing your mind. Silencing your mind gets two votes. Silence. I don't know anybody who's just been silent. I understand where you're coming from, but I don't know anybody who's just been silent. For me, meditation is simply a t-shirt I used to wear, meditation, am I spelling that right? Meditation is not what you think. Meditation is not what you think. I've always loved that. That was a t-shirt I bought 20 years ago. I love the double message in it. Meditation is not what you think, meaning that it means something else. But it also means that if you're thinking, you're not meditating. The meditation is behind it. And again, this is even going deeper with the Ho'oponopono. They want you to go past even what you are watching, the thinking, to being that whiteboard, the zone, whatever you want to call it, that's behind the witness. You want to go to source. That's where you want to go with the meditation that I like to teach and I like to do. Talk about a stress buster. You know, there is no stress if you're at that state. I spoke at a seminar 10 years ago, and there was a psychic there who said that the way she meditates is to get so quiet within herself that she can hear her own heartbeat. And I've always loved that phrase because I thought, geez, if I could hear my own heartbeat, I must really be silent. I must really be quiet within myself. You know, most of the chatter must be gone in order for me to tune in to that deep of a level. So these are all fingers pointing towards the moon, so to speak. We want to go in that direction. We want to go to source. The meditation technique is very simple. You sit right exactly where you're at right now. But what you're going to do is take your fingers, these two index fingers here, you're going to touch together with your thumb. Okay, so you have that concept. So what you're going to do next is you separate and do that within each other. So you're grasping within the circle. Okay? The two index fingers just grasp in the circle. Make sense? And you sit where you're at? It can go either way. Yeah. Whatever feels comfortable for you. Yeah. And what you would do is close your eyes, and you're going to breathe in slowly to the count of seven. Once you've done that, you will hold your breath to the count of seven. Once you've done that, you will release your breath to the count of seven. Once you've done that, you will hold your not having any breath for the count of seven. Then you will repeat the process. And you're supposed to do this 9 times. So it only takes a few minutes, but it's a very quieting activity. Any questions about it? If not, go ahead and do it. So whenever you're ready, whenever you're done with that, what I invite you to do is to open up your magic journal and to have fun. Just to write down for your eyes only what you would welcome into your life experience if it fell out of the clear blue sky. And anything goes. It can be in any category, it can be in all categories, whatever feels inspired to you. So I would go ahead and spend some time doing that. And just let it be fun. Get into the energy of it. Remember to write down as if it's already happened. It's over. You're celebrating it. It's accomplished. The deal is done. Feel it. Write it with some vivid imagery. Get into the experience of it already having passed. And just have fun with it for a few minutes. So can I see what you wrote? I was kidding. I don't want to, that was a test. I don't want to see what you wrote. That's for you. It's a special. I might be able to read a few words of it. Does anybody want to share what some of the experience was like? Either the meditation, the technique there, or the actual writing for the first time in your magic journal. You like it? You not like it? Insights?
After the 9th repetition, I felt, although I was already really relaxed, I felt like I just dropped down to a noticeably deeper trance, if you will, that could be along the lines of what you're referring to, going behind the watcher. In that direction.
That's a good direction. Yeah, that's a great direction to go in. Awesome. Somebody else?
Did nothing for me. I'm kidding. I was incredible. It was.
We expected.
I'm just
this.
Playing the role, man. It was incredible.
Wait a minute. It was incredible. You
yeah,
said
it was
that?
Incredible. It was very peaceful. It's a great tool. And what was interesting is when I was writing things down, I started. I didn't reread what I wrote. I just wrote it right. And I glanced back over one of the things I had written, and it was because we can't tell. But it was interesting because the words I was using, and I wasn't trying to be like wax poetic or anything. I wasn't trying to be intentional with the words. I was using words that were directly tied to the metaphors. It was bizarre. It was like I planned to write it this way, and it was like just came right out. You know, so normally I have to think about things like that. So it was real clearing the thought.
Now, to me, this is my interpretation. It sounds like it's more inspired. Yeah, and that's the direction that I want us to come from. So I like hearing that. Somebody else?
I need to practice breathing.
Okay.
I halfway through couldn't do the, you know, all the full thing, and I thought, just relax, Joyce. Just relax. Just, you know. And so I'm going to start practicing breathing to the sevens so that when I do get into a meditative state with my fingers, that it won't be a problem.
Yeah. Well, beautiful. You have plenty of opportunity to practice breathing. Yes. Day and night, yes. Everywhere you go.
Twice I lost count of where I was.
I do that a lot.
And I thought, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
And I felt like at the end, I was just coming out of a hypnotic trance. And so it made it very easy to start writing and to actually believe that I was writing this after it had already happened.
Awesome.
For me, thoughts came into my mind as I was meditating, but different than, you know, trying to push them away. They were actually useful thoughts, not just junky thoughts. So I acknowledged them, thanked them, and said, I'll get back to you, you know, later, and then went down deeper and deeper.
Wow.
And had the sense... Actually, I went so deep that I forgot that we were going to do the journaling next, and I was kind of happy in the deep part. But the journaling then came to be something that surprised me of what it was already having it.
Uh-huh.
It was not, you know, if you'd asked me 10 minutes before or whatever.
So yeah, I think you tap into a deeper place.
Yeah.
Hopefully at the whiteboard place.
Right.
Somebody else?
I just counted.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so I couldn't think of anything because I was busy counting.
Well, that's one function of the meditation, is it occupies your conscious mind.
Right. Yeah. So, but, of course, the writing was very easy.
Good.
And the feelings came with the writing, the feelings of actually having it and the excitement of that.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't get to the whiteboard.
That's okay. Yeah, we're all striving for that. Somebody else? Comment?
Coming out of the meditation, I was frankly almost amazed how easy the writing come. And my norm is it's usually painful to get started. And I don't know if I'm not sure why that is, but that wasn't the case at all. If I hadn't looked at my writing and realized that I was going so fast that I can't read it, I had to stop. And it really coincided with us coming to a point that it came a convenient time to stop.
Sounds perfect.
I actually went to a different place. The meditation, I did get to the most peaceful place I'd ever been. And I did, and it was really neat because we had this finger thing that it acts like an anchor, like people talk about in NLP.
Yeah.
That every time I want to go to that place, I feel like I could go back there with
anchor,
this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a nice thing to go to that meditation. When I'm usually one of these people that's prolific and write and write and write and write. And I came out of the meditation and I couldn't write. I could help anybody in this room, but if I asked anybody in this room to help me, I couldn't do it. And so what I was writing was for help. And I immediately ran into the stuff that was blocking me that I hadn't been seeing consciously. And so I just sat there for the whole rest of the time and said, thank you, please forgive me, I'm sorry, I love you.
Nice, perfect, perfect. Wow. Look at that, you're getting a round of applause for that one. Another comment?
She mentioned the anchor for NLP. If I recall correctly, it's Ellman induction that does the counting backwards of
Dave Ellman,
removal of the numbers. I noticed that similarity. And then also the meditation helped eliminate, you know, scrap sense of time, you know, and allow myself to go into the future tense looking back.
Okay, I'm taking a deep breath because I'm getting inspired to do something here. no, I'm not going to open this. I know I went towards it. I was thinking about it, but I'm not going to do that. Okay, since being with Dr. Lin and taking these seminars and so forth, and those of you who have read the book Adventures Within that you all have a copy of now, know that I've spent a lot of time in the self-development area, personal growth area, spent a lot of time with a guru that was from India. But with Dr. Lin, there's been something of an awakening, and I haven't talked about this before, but I'm seeing things differently. One of the things that happened with the workshop that I was just in with Dr. Lin is that he asked me what was different with me, because he certainly noticed something. And I said, well, the easiest way to answer it is that everything's talking to me. That means the walls. And those of you who were at the dinner, you know about him talking to the carpet in the room and hearing whatever he heard. So I seem to be on that level or on that verge. So as I'm looking around the room, I see different things. I see things around you, for example, good things. I'm not saying anything negative. I don't see anything negative about anybody. Okay? I'm seeing all positive here. But you all have this certain halo, certain aura that is very bright. Some of this you probably already can pick up on an energy level because the group is very, there's a synergy going on here. What's the word I'm looking for? Somebody might have said. It's what? It is cohesive. Yes, absolutely. You're all getting along perfectly. You're all talking, you know, together and sharing ideas and sharing business cards. And the energy's on the same wavelength, and it's a very high energy. It's a very high energy. When I was with Dr. Lin and he was asking me different questions, I was looking at things like, well, the light switch seems to be telling me something over there. And he would say yes, and I would tell him what it was. He says, exactly. It's like he was getting the same message, you know. And there was a woman there in the last seminar who runs a martial arts studio called a dojo. And the business has been terrible. And she was asking the group for advice. She was saying, what kind of feedback do you get? And Dr. Lin turned to me. He singles me out quite a bit, probably because we're working on a book together. And he wants me to be sure to be involved in the whole process. And I said, well, I think the business is dying. He said, exactly right. But I mean, not dying in the sense that dying and you can repair it, but dying because it's going to be dead. She can't survive this business. She can't bring this business back to life. She has to let this business go. And as I was looking at the woman, she was wearing this spiral neck piece, a piece of jewelry that had a spiral on it. And to me, it was moving at warp speed. It was spinning like this. And I pointed out, I said, I don't know what it means, but I see that this piece of jewelry is spinning. It seems to be a cleaning device. It's cleaning you. And no doubt you're going to have to leave the martial arts studio and let it die a quiet death as you move on to something else. And again, Dr. Lin said, yes, that's exactly what he was saying. Now, when he says this, he says it instantly, like he wasn't thinking about it. He heard that you said the same thing that he was already picking up on and just confirmed it. So I have a lot of that going on. And again, when I stand up here and say it, it's like, okay, I'm being very open with everybody here and risk-taking with everybody here. But like Suzanne, you know what, Suzanne, I mentioned in an email that Dr. Lin mentioned you. And you know what he said? He said that you are one of God's first ten. God's first ten. And we're not talking about angels in particular here, though I regard you as one of my guardian angels. But we are talking about something or someone or some energy that has come into being very close to the beginning of time. That's a very wise, spiritual, special place and person. And he was singling you out. Yeah. And surprisingly, she's never once asked me about that because I sent her an email one day and said, hey, Dr. Lin mentioned you. She hasn't asked at all, which I think is a sign of, you know, you're past all of that. You don't even need to know. I'd tell you sooner or later. You just didn't think it would be in a public seminar on video, on audio. So, of course, you know, I pick up stuff with you all the time, and you pick up stuff. We hit it off. She interviewed me over in Wimberley with Chris. They came over, and Marissa and I were all there. And I knew right on that spot that you almost have wings. You know, that you're that angelic, you know. And her questions are brilliant. I still want you to do your radio show or teleseminar series or webinar, whatever that might be. Have you done any more interviews since then? Okay. I wondered about that, but I would encourage you to, if you feel inspired to. My own feeling is you would be, you know, you would rock at it. And we already know that whether Debbie Ford or not did the spiritual parenting book, you can still do the spiritual parenting book. It doesn't matter if anybody else has done one or not, because you would still do your version of it. And your version would come from a different place, especially if it's coming from the whiteboard. This is going to be our own little secret code name, the whiteboard. They'll all be referring to, I've been praying to the whiteboard. The whiteboard says no. The whiteboard says yes. What? So does this all seem pretty weird? Just kidding.
I'm the only guy with it.
I figure if it passes your test, then I'm clean. I'm clear here. Yes. I keep Austin weird. You're right at home. For those who don't know, that's the little motto for Austin. Just keep Austin weird. You can call this a hypnotic technique. You can call this Joe channeling something. You can call this me being psychic. You can call this me being right-brained. You can call this being in prep for my tequila later, you know, just going off the wall. But one of the things I told Narissa shortly after coming back from the last seminar with Dr. Lin is that I noticed she had an invisible little kitten on this shoulder. and that it was nudging her ear with its wet nose. And whenever I pointed it out, look what she does. She relaxes, she smiles, a light is on in her eyes. You know, I can't help but question some of this myself. So whether I'm saying to myself, well, Joe, you're just being Milton Erickson and you're coming up with a hypnotic image that makes her smile because you know you're like cats, or I'm saying to myself, Joe, you're really seeing a kitty there. And that could be her guardian angel, that could be some sort of spirit, that could be, I don't know what it is. But see, she even turns her head to face over towards the kitty so the kitty can play with her earring a little bit more and kiss her nose. And no matter what you think of it, doesn't she shift? I think we should all have little invisible kitties on our shoulders. Puppies. Or puppy. She wants a puppy. You're welcome to have a puppy. Yeah, see, you can have balance, too, a kitty and a puppy, whatever. But, you know, I see a kitty. I see a kitty right there. There was a book that came out years ago that said, Everything Talks to Me. And it was by a psychic. I don't know if it's still in print or not. And I remember reading it. This was 20 years ago. I remember thinking, boy, that sounds remarkable, but it sounds pretty insane at the same time. But now I'm walking around and I'm going, oh, you know, I can feel that a car or a person or a room or something is tired or needs to be changed, or I don't even know how to describe it. It sounds pretty bizarre, I guess. And my stepping out like this, I did not prepare to do this. I prepared a manual. A token manual at that. But I did not. In fact, I was standing over here and I was getting inspired to come do it. And I was thinking, oh, I don't want to do that. And they would say, no, go on out there and just start saying what you're seeing and just start speaking your truth and so forth. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. And then it goes back to my whole fear thing. If I fear it, but no, I feel like in my heart it's something I would be doing if I didn't have the fear, then I have to do it. Then I have to do it. So I'm doing it. Wherever it goes, what you take from it, I have no clue. I have no control. You know, I choose, but I can't decide. Dr. Len's famous statement. What do you think after being on the cruise with me? You heard me from a marketing standpoint. She's been considering having me come up to Boston and speak to her group about business and marketing. I don't know if I'm still going. She might say, yes. Yes, Joe, don't talk to the light switches. Don't talk to the audio equipment. You know, don't talk to the floor, but talk about sales and marketing. Yeah. But you got a deal. That's a deal. All right. I like that. That's clarity. I have a couple other gifts for you that all tie into all of this. Have any of you read a book called The Vibrational Universe? Have you seen the book? Wow. I hadn't seen this book. Nobody else? Just Nancy? The Vibrational Universe, Harnessing the Power of Thought to Consciously Create Your Life. This is very much on the wavelength of The Attractor Factor. It's a longer book. It's a little bit more of a heady book. It's a different book. My story was a very personal story, as you know, after reading it. So this is more of an intellectual, kind of a quantum physics overview of it, but it's still a great book. I liked it enough that I bought a copy for everybody. Yes, so you'll all have that. The Vibrational Universe. Kenneth James, I've been in contact with, too. I've never met him. But again, it's all coming from The Attractor Factor, about your thoughts pulling in certain realities. And the other book, I'm pretty sure nobody here has, Living Reality, James Braha. Anybody? Yep, I could have guaranteed that you wouldn't have had this book. This book, the subtitle is My Extraordinary Summer with Sailor Bob Adamson. I do not know Sailor Bob Adamson. He is from Melbourne, Australia. So those of you who have been or from Melbourne may have heard of him. He is considered to be somebody who is, I will say, enlightened. He would probably say he is one with the divine. He's probably along the lines of Dr. Len. And since there is not a book yet about Dr. Len, I'm currently writing it with him, of course. This is the closest thing I can get to it. Living Reality is about James Braha, who is a Vedic astrologer. He is a very famous Vedic astrologer. And some of you know, if you've read my writings or heard some of my recent speeches, I love Vedic astrology. Western astrology is much more general and talks about the psychology and personality of you. Vedic astrology goes right down to dates, times, places, such and such is going to happen during this week-long period or on such and such a date. They're very precise. They're very convincing. And after I've done a couple readings with Joni Paltry, I think is her name, with the Galactic Center in Dallas, by the way, wonderful readings by her, and found out how accurate, amazingly accurate she's been. I've had other readings done for myself. I've got a reading done for Suzanne at one point. Narissa's had a reading done. And because Joni is recently, the lady doing the Vedic astrologer, recently contacted me saying, Joe, you're about to be offered some sort of giant television program, and we need to talk about it. I'm going to be talking about her with her on Tuesday to find out what's coming. But they're very different than Western astrology. Western astrology is much more vague. You have these characteristics. And Vedic astrology is much more precise. James Braha is a famous Vedic astrologer. This book is not about Vedic astrology. It's about his time with this guy who is basically living in the moment. So it's a very eye-opening, sometimes hard to read, because he's coming from a very different place. He's coming from the whiteboard. He's coming from source. So I'm giving you this. I bought copies of this, and almost all of them are autographed by James Braha. Yeah, I might be short one or two, depending on what the count of the people is here. But almost all of them are, I bought them directly from him, and I asked him to sign them. So as we are on the last hour of today, the last 45 minutes or so before we break, and is dinner at 6 or 7? Is it 7? So I want to kind of get take your temperature, so to speak. Where I'm at is, what did I do? Yes. Wonderful. I think that is one of the greatest gifts of all. Craig and I were talking at lunch that it's all about being in the moment. Everything happens in the moment. Even when you're thinking about the past, you're doing it in the moment. When you're thinking about the future, you're doing it in the moment. But what you want to do is be totally aware of this moment. Oh, that's a home run. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, you get an extra coin. Yeah, there you go. Anybody else in the moment? Because I got more coins. I'll buy your way into the moment. Nothing like money to make us talk, huh? Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. She's asking if I found any more unpublished work by Neville. Neville is the guy who inspired me with the Nevilleize Your Goals in Step 4. I've told many of you about them. Most of his books are in print. If you go to Amazon and you type in Neville, N-E-V-I-L-L-E, you will see several books, including one that just came out within the last few months, which is a collection of some of his very tiny booklets that were put together. The only book that I was lucky enough to find was his very first book called At Your Command. At Your Command, as far as I know, was the very first book. And he basically said, the universe is at your command. Tell it what you would like to have. What's interesting about Neville is that towards the latter part of his life, he changed his feelings about that. He's more in the direction of where I've been going. It's like you can go ahead and say that the universe is at your command and petition it. Put your request in for it to give you things or to make things happen. But you have to be in a state of let go because it may have something much, much better for you. So he was more in alignment with just letting go. He's more in alignment with Dr. Len, actually, in his later years. And I just recently bought on eBay a 1960 LP, an oversized album, 33 and a third, that was by Neville. There's two talks by Neville on this thing. It's in pristine condition. It was like just amazed with what you can find when your intention is out there for it. I collect Neville stuff as well as I do P.T. Barnum and a few others. And I think I have the Neville book over there. I have to look because I have some other things for you, and I'll go find them shortly. But thank you for that question. Thank you for that question. I don't know of any other works, but there's a lot of people looking for his stuff and putting the audio online. And if you do a Neville search on eBay, you'll find some things as well. There is a woman in Los Angeles who has boxes of reel-to-reel and cassette tapes. She told me that she had no idea how to take those and put them on CDs. And she said, I have no idea. She said, I don't even know where to find a reel-to-reel player. So I said, if I find a reel-to-reel player, will you put those on CDs, and I'll tell you how, and give them to me? And she said, yes. So I went on eBay, I found one, I bought it, I shipped it to her. She's been amazingly forever grateful, and she's in the process of taking all those boxes and turning them into things we can listen to. So how about rating this event so far? Meaning on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 meaning you never should have come. And 10 meaning you are so off the charts, zippity-doo-dah, fantastic feeling, wonderful, that you were going to slip me $1,000 or tequila or something really juicy to say, Joe, I really want to give you more than you've ever asked for. So, 15, 20s, 50s and 20s? Really, off the charts. Because what I was going to say is, I can't even talk after saying that, after hearing that. If this is not a 9 or a 10, we still have time. You can tell me what you still need to get. What do you still need to hear? What do you still need to experience? What do you still need to feel? We still have all tomorrow. We have guest speakers. I have more surprises. I'm, of course, going to be here some of the day, depending on how it goes. But for the most part, here's your chance. If it's not a 9 or a 10, what is it? What are you missing? Now, I've already heard some of you think it's a 15 or 20. Uh-oh, here we go. Oh, interesting. She said I could get this to a 20, and I don't know what the 20 means, because, yes, she wants to know what the direct connection is between the coconut and the divine. Okay, when I was with Dr. Len last weekend, and one of the private moments I had with him, I told him about going through this weekend, and he said one of the things he wanted was a list of everybody's names. If you remember, Suzanne, he did that with us for the people going to the dinner. He wanted a list of everybody's name. He wanted to know where it was being held, the time of day, the place. And he wanted to do his reading on it. He wanted to do his cleaning on it. So I asked Suzanne for a list of the names. I gave it to Dr. Len. He spent time going through every one of the names, all of your names. So he's met you on some level. And he did his cleaning and so forth. And he wrote back to me and he says, have everybody eat shredded organic coconut. He said, it will help you reconnect to the divine. Now, he is the first to say that some of the things he says are crazy. When I got in the car with him when he was taking me back to the airport, he said that he saw a wreath around my head. And he said, not like thorns or anything. He says, more like what Caesar or the Roman Empire people might have worn, the royalty might have worn. And he says, it looks like they're leaves. And he says, it looks like it's actually folded money and it's moving. And I thought, okay, you know, I don't see nothing, you know, because I didn't see what he was seeing. And after he said it, and he paused for dramatic emphasis, I guess, he said, okay, now we can drive to the psychiatrist because this is what schizophrenics say and what schizophrenics see, you know, which is very, of course, he's a doctor and he's worked with those people. So I just take it on faith. He says, get the coconut. I asked Suzanne, could you find a place to have coconut and bring 30-some bags of them? And so the person who probably looked crazy was her when she was asking for 30 bags of this or buying it in bulk. So all I know is he had made that request. It was very simple to implement. I thought, what the heck? Coconut in the morning. And, of course, there's, you know, from the left brain standpoint, a few people pointed out that, you know, eating coconut's not only good for you, it can help you lose weight. Because there's some element in the coconut fat. Somebody, he may know better, John may know better about that. That helps you actually lose weight. It's metabolizing something in your body. I don't know. All I know is Dr. Len said, have me eat coconut. Yes, and look how it's worked, because you have all been clear from the moment you've arrived. You know, even at dinner last night, because I wasn't sure how that was going to go, because it wasn't very long. You were just meeting each other. Man, everybody just buzzing. You know, and I sat at one point and just listened to the chatter, because all of you were sharing, you were talking, you were exchanging information, ideas, business cards, whatever it happens to be. So some clearing has taken place on some level, and I know of that one. Yeah. So I got a 20 out of the class then? Wow, man. I don't think I've ever had a 20. Yes.
For example, when you are not completely sure that you are clear about what you want for the next year, how do you work with it?
Yeah.
Get completely clear.
Okay. I don't think you need to know. I don't think you need to know what's going to be going, what you want for the next year. I think what you want to know is what's going on in this moment. And I know that in the Japanese culture, they talk about setting goals that are 300 years out. Man, I cannot fathom it. I have no idea where they're coming from, how they pull it off. It's a different culture, it's a different mentality. I don't know anything about that. I really believe that it's in this moment that you're choosing, based on inspiration, what's next for you. Out of this moment, something else is going to come, you will choose again. I really believe this is a lot like when you drive your car at night, you have your headlights on, you can only see 100 feet, 100 yards, whatever it is, down the road. But you drive that little bit of distance, and you can see the next 100. You drive that little bit of distance, you can see the next 100. And so you're taking it moment by moment.
So So if I get it clear, you have to be, you have to clear your goals for each moment, for the moment that you are living. Forget about the goals for the 3 months ahead, 6 months ahead.
Okay. Well, I like what you're asking because I like where it's coming from, but I think we're starting to get a little too heady over it. I think it's more a matter of being in this moment and choosing what would be fun for you to have in the next few moments, whether that is going to be tonight, next week, the next 3 months, as far down the road as you see. But at the same time, as you do that, you want to be open to feedback. Because you may say that I want a goal of having something happen by 1 year from now, whereas in 3 weeks or 6 months or 8 months from now, you'll see that is not what you want. So you have to be flexible. How many of you decided on your career when you were a teenager? You were in high school, you know, you decided on something. I want to be a doctor, I want to be a baseball player, whatever it happens to be. It was Wayne Dyer who pointed out that you were an immature teenager who was deciding your entire life direction when you were 15, 16, 17, 18, or early in college. Of course you can relook at it later. You know, you're wiser, you got much more experience, much more training, education, whatever it happens to be. Take another look. I would say it's the same thing. Yeah. I don't want you or myself or anybody to be cornered into doing it a certain way because you made a decision for that 2 years ago. It's open for new input. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I was going to begin this event. You know, I told you I came unprepared, and in my head I had so many openings, you know, so many ways to start it. And I thought, boy, I got an opening because I got like 50 of them. But after I get through the opening, I don't know what's going to happen next. It was entirely free form. But I remember thinking to myself, one of my openings could be something to the effect of, uh-oh, I'm losing it already. What were we just talking about? Thank you. That triggered it. I swear I've not opened the tequila. I've been eyeing the tequila. It's osmosis. It's probably empty by now from osmosis. So one of the questions I was going to ask, thank you, because that triggered it and it stemmed from you, is can your entire life be changed in a moment? Yeah. And I believe all of you would agree to that. I see everybody nodding their head. Not everybody on the outside out there would agree to that. But I know that there have been movies that, you know, are an hour and a half long. And not just The Secret, but some other mass popular movies that I've seen. Back to the Future was one of them that deeply influenced me, that awakened me that what I do now is going to change my entire life from here on out. You know, the decisions I make in this moment are going to change the following moment. And it came true for me when I watched that movie and realized, wow, he went back in time, he changed one thing, look what happened. So I wanted to begin this by pointing that out this whole weekend, and I'm only saying it now as a, for the funsies, I guess, because you're already past it, is the whole idea that we're only here for 2 days. But your entire life can change in a moment. So yes, all the goals, everything that you've been focused on, they can change. They'll be reassessed. You'll have new feedback, decide to go in a new direction. You may wake up in the middle of tonight and have a new idea of where you want to go, possibly around 3:03 in the morning. Oh, what a great group. Okay, other questions, comments? I not at a, because I wanted everybody to be at a 9 or a 10 for today. Or higher, 9 or, well, thank you, that's right. I've never said, or higher. 9 or 10 or higher. I've got a new way of stating. Yes, I got a new way of stating it now. Did you have your hand up, Craig?
Well, first of all, I really like the idea of what you were just talking about with the, what you're going to focus on with the headlights. It's something that I've struggled with. How many people here have heard of, you know, if you don't, plan, you plan to fail. Hear that? Your goals, very traditional. I've always struggled with that because they, well, what are you doing in 5 years? I'm like, how the hell would I know? Right? And it seemed like the wrong answer for those people. They say, well, then you're planning on going nowhere. And I know that we've talked about this before, and I thought I'd, you know, just bring that up and see what you were going to say about that.
Uh-huh. Well, more than what we've already talked about it?
What we're talking about, obviously, we have the vision of following the headlights and all that, but what would you say to someone who was to say, well, that flies in the face of, if you don't plan, then you plan to fail, essentially.
Oh.
That specific idea, I just was inspired to say it. I don't agree with it
okay.
myself. I just thought I'd bring it up.
Okay. Yeah. I've asked Dr. Len things to that nature, you know, about planning and expectations and everything in that domain. And he's very much of the mind, no expectations, no planning. I just show up. It's much like the luxury car salesman that's with him that I met, Marvin, who says, I just show up. I just show up. And I'm cleaning all the time. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Constantly cleaning, constantly touching his little Seaport button, you know, to remind himself about the cleaning. That's all he is doing. There is no, I'm planning for today, I'm planning for this week, I'm planning for next week. Now, when he gets up in the morning, there's something of a plan there because he knows he has to be at work at 9 or 10 or whatever it happens to be. You know, but beyond that, he's not overly planning it. He's allowing room for the universe to move or the divine to enter and inspire us to go in a different direction.
Since experiencing this a couple weeks ago and now at a different level, deeper, all my day-to-day stuff is really just falling away. You know, I mentioned just a little more ease with the kids, and which is really wonderful, yet I'm really not inspired or wanting to do what I've been doing, and I'm doing nothing. And there's a little bit of the ego and panic of, you know, I've got to make money, I've got a family to feed, and my husband needs support, and I in a way just want to just keep practicing and releasing. And, yeah, and not do the things I've been doing. Mm-hmm. Can we talk to that?
I totally understand where you're coming from because, and I keep standing over here so everybody can see me in case you're wondering why I keep backing over here. A couple things that are going on. One is, and again, this is coming from Dr. Len, and also you hear it in different spiritual traditions, the only goal that we're supposed to have is to go back to the whiteboard. In other words, seek the kingdom of heaven first and all else is added to us. That is a Christian way of defining the same thing. What Dr. Len and others are saying is that we want to go to source. From source, everything else will happen. From source, we will be inspired to hold a manifestation weekend, or we will be inspired to find these special hand-painted books and get them for everybody here. You know, any number of things may happen from being inspired and being one in the moment with the divinity. I already know a little bit more about you from what you shared last night, and I don't know about the story of doing some of the things you don't want to do anymore, but I also know you have a passion for that ebook that you have there and about the feng shui for bedrooms. A very hot, stimulating subject in a lot of variety of ways. And I gave you an idea last night on how to promote it. Yeah, she's going to hold it up. This is her infomercial moment. Change your room. Is that what it said? Change your room. Change your room, change your life. And I sensed a lot of passion coming for that. I find that passion is a good indicator of where your connection is to the divine. And I'm not quite sure how to explain that, but we've all heard people like Joseph Bliss or Joseph Campbell saying, follow your bliss. And I say, follow your enthusiasm, follow your passion. That's your inner compass telling you that's the direction to go in. That is what I have been finding to be the answer, the source. It may involve dramatic change. It may not involve dramatic change. But if you're at source, you're at peace during the dramatic change because you're in the center of the cyclone, so to speak. Yeah. Does any of that make you feel better? Okay. Well, he just raised his hand because it may all be ruined. I'm glad as you can take it well.
Yes, I'm going to beat you up after this.
Right.
I was going to speak to, not to shift subjects here, but to speak to the question about setting goals. And this is a kind of a question back to you, Joe. What do you think about the concept of, rather than saying, where am I going to, you know, what do I want in 3 months, what do I want in 6 months? Because I'm like, you know, who the hell knows, right? How do I want to feel? In 6 months, what feelings do I want to have manifested in my life, and what kind of contributions do I want to see from those feelings in others? Not necessarily goals, but just feel. You know, those are all like just more feeling based. I mean, is there any thought on that?
Yeah, I would directly go with the feelings because even when you're writing in that magic journal that we've all had, yes, I thought you were pretending to be the Pope there for a second. I bless you. Feelings is where your connection is. It isn't thought. That's why meditation is not what you think. The feelings are going to take you a closer step to source. When you're writing in your manifestation journal, your magic journal, whatever you end up calling your little baby here, what you want to do is come from feeling. It's not so much the thought. The thoughts might express the feelings, but the feelings are far more important. The feelings are the fire, the emotion that activate the very thing that you want. And I think from a biochemical standpoint, feelings send a message into your subconscious mind or your unconscious mind that gets in there and gets noticed, gets lodged, better than just saying the words. So the feelings are far, far more important. That's why when you're writing this, you want to write it with feeling, as if it's already done. That's your request of the divine. You're petitioning it, saying, I'd like it to go this way, or if you've got something better for me, I'm open to it. Yes, you get a mic.
The goal setting and the dates, but you were talking about in the notebook, in the magic notebook, to not date it.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I did was I dated it a year from now, and it's like, oh, scratch that out. And then it's like, I can't say a year from now, because then that puts me in the now, thinking of a year. So I'm having a hard time.
Oh, but you can do it that way. You can if you want. If that felt fine for you and you seem to be inspired in a moment, you can do it that way. When I did the vision statement for the Mental Toughness Institute that I was in, and they had us write a vision of how my life is 1 year from now, they had me date it 1 year from today. Is today the 20th or 19th or something? So it would be 1 year, 2007, on the same day, and I would have written out my whole vision of how I wanted it to have passed over the last year. You can do it that way.
Okay, so maybe I should say 1 year from today's date.
You can write the actual date of 1 year from today.
Oh, okay. All right.
So if today is May 20th or whatever it is, you can say 2007.
Okay.
Of 2007.
I have a question to see if you can connect the practical to the clear blue sky.
Okay.
So if money loves action and we want to clear things and we don't want to get wrapped up in projecting too far ahead goals because we're sticking to the feelings, it seems to me a good way for me to be in the moment but also feel, not let any resistance come up because I'm just in the moment, that if I'm doing the I love you and clearing and tuning into the whiteboard to just be, the word that comes to mind is a blank slate and let it come, then that's a way, in that moment, I can let the goals come because that's the inspired action. Probably goal is the wrong word because
uh-huh.
It's got too many connotations, it's charged. But let the inspired actions come and then put in the money loves action piece or prosperity or abundance, whatever it is, loves action piece. And when that inspiration comes, then I take the action.
Yeah, you take the action when inspiration comes. You've stated your intentions, you've written out your magic journal, you're doing your best to be at the whiteboard, the Z-zone, whatever you want to end up calling that place, and you are on the alert at that point. You are on the alert, which also ties into being in the moment. You want to be in the moment all the time. Not that any of us are, but that's our goal. If there's a goal, if you want to be in this moment. That's where everything is happening, here. So you are on high alert, wondering, where is it going to be coming? And it might come from something somebody says here. Or it might come from one of the books you're going to end up reading over the next few days. When it comes, when you notice that the person has showed up, or the item has showed up, or the clue has showed up, that's when you take action. But you only know it because you have that interconnection to that moment and to your goal that says, this is the signal. I am very intuitively driven when it comes to marketing. Even though I'm incorporated, I have my company, Hypnotic Marketing Inc. and all of that, I tell people I am a sole proprietor, meaning S-O-U-L, sole proprietor. And I am very aware of my connection to the whiteboard, to divinity, at all moments. So when people come to me, and you can imagine that I'm getting all kind of people, Suzanne can tell you, that are contacting me either directly or through her for JVs, for proposals, for ideas, for business arrangements, all of this. I'm always looking within myself for the signal. I'm always looking to say, is this the one? Should I go with this? There was a guy recently, Craig, help me remember his name. Is it Spencer? Spencer, somebody who did this video campaign. He came out of nowhere. He promoted a whole bunch of stuff. Sterling Valentine. This guy came out of nowhere. A lot of people come out of nowhere, and they contact me, or they contact Suzanne. And I don't get the yes. I don't get the feeling. So my common answer is that, you know, tell them I'm busy, I can't get to it, I'm booked for a long time, which is also true. But if I get the yes that says, like Sterling Valentine, never heard of this guy before, but something about the email, email's pretty bland. How can you pick up anything from an email? Somehow, psychically, intuitively, however you want to call that, I pick up something that says, yeah, follow through. Follow through on that one. Well, I have to follow through on that one. That's my agreement to the universe. You know, they're sending me the signal, I follow through. I follow through with this particular guy. He turns out to be an incredibly wonderful person. very creative, very fun-loving. He had taken the time to know more about me so that when he sent a picture of himself, he sent a picture of his cat, knowing that Narissa and I like cats and that I would look at it and I would laugh. And so when he wanted a picture of me for the promoter's website, I sent a picture of one of our cats to him. You know, and we just had this playfulness that was going on. All of these were further signals that this was the right track to be on. I do that with marketing. People will send me something and say, can you mail this on the 21st? Or, you know, we had to do a mailing, I think, for Mark Joyner yesterday, wasn't it, for his book campaign, which went to number one almost instantly, by the way, his book, The Great Formula. I get one from Mark who's saying, can you do this mailing on the 19th? Everything says yes. Everything based on past experience with him, everything based on my own marketing know-how and my intuition saying, yeah, go ahead, do that. Somebody else says, and there was another one recently doing a similar campaign. This guy had all kind of people lined up behind him. He ended up going to number one, too, on the Amazon campaign, but for whatever reason, I got a no. And so I did not support him. I did not promote his book. He was very nice about it. He wrote me a nice little letter. He thanked me for taking the time to consider it, which I love, because I hate it when people write back and are really upset because I chose not to support that. But I am coming from that connection to the whiteboard, the connection to the Z state, whatever you want to call that is telling me, do this project, don't do that project, do this email, don't do that email. What rationale is behind it? If I was backed into a corner, I'm sure I can come up with logical reasons of some sort that you would buy. But it's really coming, for me, it's coming from trusting myself and my source. That's how I do it from a marketing standpoint. I do the same thing, I'm sure some of you are aware of this, or concerned, or curious, when it comes to writing sales letters. My sales letters are intuitively written. I spent a lot of time on them. I did not on the Manifestation Weekend one. I've already admitted that. Everybody knows. But at the same time, you know, even the Manifestation Weekend letter, even if it didn't factor in all of my copywriting basics, my connection said, send that. Obviously, it still worked. So you can still violate some of the principles of what's going to be called good copywriting if you are connected to the spiritual source and you end up doing spiritual marketing, going back to the early title of The Attractor Factor. When you're doing spiritual marketing, hey, they may complain that the letter wasn't your best work, Joe, but they still showed up. They still bought. Yes?
In my magic journal, I actually had written down that I wanted to meet you. So when that email came across, it was so bizarre to me because, A, I just got the feeling that I don't think he does this. This is not something he really does. So, but I immediately knew I needed to go, even though I had reasons, real reasons not to go. But what's interesting about that email, because since you're speaking about it, is that if you spend any time on the internet these days reading the different people, maybe you're wanting to learn, I get to a point sometimes where they just all start to sound the same.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably going to, there'll be a demise somewhere around that because you can, I notice that the more I take in, then I get to a point where I just don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to read it. It's all just a little different product, but basically it all sounds the same. But that email did not, and it just felt very, very real to me. It was so clear, but it just felt like, I don't know, it's like having a facade fall away or something, as though, because since I didn't know you, I just was able to connect in a very, because it wasn't a pitch, there's something about it, so, you know, for whatever it's worth, it was very great.
In The Attractor Factor and in spiritual marketing, I talked about marketing pieces that were like that, you know, people showing up at seminars based on a poorly done flyer. Yeah, ditto what she says? Yes. So there's more than what's actually being written, and I've said this in The Attractor Factor. There's an energy that's going in there. But going back to what you're talking about, that energy that's going in there is coming because not Joe personally, but Joe's connection to the divine coming through. It's coming through saying, this is the next thing for you to do, and then it's either me saying, no, I'm not doing it, which I block the whole flow off, and I think there are penalties and consequences if you don't let the flow come through. So the best of my ability when it's coming through, even when I'm busy and say, I don't want to do another seminar, I say, okay, tell me what to do. And it says, send out this email. And I send out this email. And there's enough of the vibe in it because that's not through me. It's not connected to me. It's connected through me to the divinity, touching the connection of the divinity in you. to the divinity. There's that whole loop that comes together, and this is like metaphysical copywriting. This is. Let me get. I gotta go get the domain name. Gotta watch Pat back there. Pat grabs domain names quick. Metaphysicalcopywriting.com. Pat now owns it. But that's kind of where it is for me. And I don't always talk about it that way, because it's like when you're going to invite me to come and speak about sales and marketing, I won't talk about it from that angle, not unless you tell me that they're going to be open to it. But I will probably talk to them about the basics, you know, and how to do it from here's how to write the headline, here's how to write your first paragraph, here's how it looks when you're all said and done, beware of the margins, you know, and I'll look at all of those things. I might sneak in something like, if you don't sincerely believe in your business, it's got to show up, no matter what word you put there. But I won't directly talk about, well, on a psychic level, you know, the quantum physics area, they're going to pick up that, you know, your energy is not in alignment with it. I won't go there. So it depends on the audience. But I'm glad you brought that up, because that really is a secret to how I do business. And I have found that I've had to cut out all the things that weren't fun for me. Suzanne heard me speak. Was it at the library where I talked about the tax stuff? I spoke at the library in Wimberley, and I was telling people there that my income went up like 15 times what it had been when I quit trying to do my own taxes, which was a tremendous drain on me, but it was Joe trying to control everything. And I got incorporated, I went to corporate attorneys, then I turned over the books to their bookkeepers, and I suddenly realized that, wow, and I looked, like, where's all this money coming from? You know, even they told me recently when they were filling out my taxes, like, man, you've got some good years coming here. And they said, you ought to open up and spend some more of your money. You know, these are tax attorneys, corporate people telling me to go out and spend my money. And this is coming from me, I think, cutting the cords on the things that weren't fun for me to do, that were a drain on me, giving it to the people that do think it's fun, so I am free to be in alignment with the divine. You know, the divine is saying, you know, it isn't fun for you to do the taxes, so why in the world are you doing it? There are people who consider it fun. Give it to them. And Suzanne recently heard that, and you turned it over, or you went to a bookkeeper or something, yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm excited about what's going to happen next week.
Oh. You
know, there's been some real shifts and some changes I know within me personally, and I think within the room. I would request, if it's applicable, that we could submit to Suzanne some of the results of this weekend. The so what? So what happened?
Yeah.
So, and then she could share then if we're, you know, with the rest of us.
Is that okay with you?
Because I got excited. I want to be able to write her saying, you'll never believe this.
And I like, isn't that the good feeling right there? Yeah, that's great.
You'll never believe it.
Yes, I love it. I love it. That's beautiful. That's the feeling to anchor right there for all of us. That's the feeling. You can't believe what happened. You know, and imagining it from next week. Okay, we're down to the wire here. What do you want to do in the last 15 minutes? You want to break early? You have some questions? You want to tell jokes? Yeah, any of the books over there could be handed out. It's the ones that say don't touch. Yeah. That command worked. When you were asking about Neville, have you read this one, At Your Command? This is the very first book by Neville. And I found it cost me $500. It was on eBay. It was a first edition, very rare, signed by him. There were other people that were bidding on it, but I had already made up my mind they weren't getting it. So, and then I worked out a deal that I published it. I republished this book. And it is his first book. He talks about consciousness. And, well, the world is at your command. Yep. And everybody's getting one. They're going to come around here in a minute. So you're going to have plenty to read this evening or reflect on this evening. Right. You're also getting copies of How to Attain Your Desires, I hope. Is that going out somewhere too? How to Attain Your Desires, Part 1 and Part 2, which Craig and Amy have both really love. I know both of you like these. These are also books that I had found that were in public domain. Genevieve Beyrin is a New Thought inspirational writer who I absolutely love. I wish that there was more by her. Most people know about her one book, Your Invisible Power, but they don't know about these other books. And I found them, I cleared the copyright, I printed these books, and you're getting both of them, Volume 1 and Volume 2. These are very heady, they're very inspiring, there's some real keys to the universe in here.
This concludes Disc 3. Now please insert Disc 4.